So we have to thank the Rishonim who wrote the words to Kaddish Urchatz Karpas Yachatz. They didn't write the tune. That was Uncle Moshe wrote it. But the original words to Kaddish Urchatz. So it's a good way for us to keep track as to what we're up to in the Seder. So if you give a shiur, you wanted to go a little like a Seder, so it's a good way to remember what we're up to. So we'll try to go through, we'll see how far we get in the next couple of days. We'll try to go through the different mitzvahs, the different huggers that we have throughout the night of Pesach. Try to make some ha'aras as we go along. So we have been learning the Ketzim of Avarchim, so we have bumped into some sugyas that are related to Pesach. Once or twice we've opened up Arvei Pesachim, so we'll try to see to put some of the pieces of this puzzle together. So we begin with the first of a Kaddish. So the mitzvah of Kaddish really is multifaceted. There are a whole bunch of different kiyumim that we're about to perform when we recite Kiddush at the Seder. So first and foremost, we're about to perform the mitzvah of Kiddush on Yontif. Pesach night not being fundamentally different than any other Yontif in that sense. There's a mitzvah to recite Kiddush on Yontif. What is the mokor for reciting Kiddush on Yontif? Some of you may remember back. Earlier this year, we saw a Lashon HaRambam, when the Rambam writes in the Shabbos, that Kishem Shemakachin Beleli Shabbosos, Mavdil B'motzahen, Kach Makachin Beleli Yom Tov, Mavdil B'motzahen. The same way that you recite Kiddush on Friday night, and you recite Avdola on Motzei Shabbos, so you recite Kiddush on Yontif, now you recite Avdola on Motzei Yontif. So the Rambam chose to connect the two. The Rambam wrote Kishem. So Kishem means like, as, similar to. So the Rambam is making an equation between the two. And then the Rambam goes even further to highlight this equation. The Rambam writes that, and why is it that you make Kiddush and Avdolah on Yom Tov, the same you do on Shabbos? Shekula Niku Shabbos Hashem. Because all the Yom Tovim are called Shabbosos. The Torah sometimes uses the phrase the Shabbos as referring to Yom Tov. Actually, specifically, the first day of Pesach is referenced as a Shabbos. It's called B'mochos HaShabbos, B'mochos HaShabbos. So here the Torah Shabbat explains to us that the word Shabbos literally means Yom Tov. But even not just Pesach, all the Yom Tovim are called days of Tishbos, days of Shabboson. There is a positive mitzvah to refrain from Malacha and Yom Tov, the same way that we have on Shabbos that model that there's an Issa to do Malacha and there's a mitzvah's essay of Tishbos. So we have a parallel model on Yom Tov. There's a positive mitzvah to be Shabbos. The Torah refers to all the days of Yom Tov as being days of Shabboson. So the Rambam writes that since the days of Yom Tov are called days of Shabbos, the mitzvah of Shabbos refers to a Yom Tov as well. So we've pointed this out earlier this year, that the Rambam seems to be highlighting for us that the recitation of Kiddush on Yom Tov night is a mitzvah deraisa. The same mitzvah, zochus from Shabbos l'kacho, since Shabbos doesn't only mean Saturday, Shabbos means a day of shvisa mimalacha. When you make Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah, you make Kiddush on Pesach, you make Kiddush on Shavuos, that is the same mitzvah deraisa as making Kiddush on Friday night. That's the simple reading of the Rambam. Notwithstanding the simple reading of the Rambam, the Magid Mishnah on that Rambam itself points out that doesn't think that's the case. He claims that the mitzvah of Kiddush on Yom Tov is only a mitzvah midrabbanan. So I think a couple of months ago when we first saw this Rambam's Magid Mishnah, we pointed out that the simple pshat is like the Rambam, that the Magid Mishnah is really a tremendous Kiddush, and it's a little bit of a pella that the later Achronim will quote this Magid Mishnah among Avram and the Mishnah Berurah. Everyone goes along with this Magid Mishnah that Kiddush on Yom Tov is only a mitzvah midrabbanan, whereas the Rambam is came up with favor that is not the case. So whatever the case may be, either it's a mitzvah deraisa or mitzvah midrabbanan, you're making Kiddush on Pesach night because the Ma'aseh you have to make Kiddush on Yom Tov. But in addition to making Kiddush on the Seder night because it happens to be Yom Tov, there is something which is unique to Pesach night, and that is that the Kos of Kiddush happens to be the first of the Dalet Kosos. So that already is raised a little bit of a red flag for us, because once we say that there is a dual kiyum of Kiddush on Pesach night, is the mitzvah of Kiddush as well as the first of the Dalet Kosos, that could potentially impact on some of the details as to how we perform that mitzvah. We're going to look at Kiddush at the Seder night with a different set of eyes than we'll look at the regular Dirim of Kiddush on Yom Tov, because of the second dimension, the second kiyum, the second fulfillment of Dalet Kosos. How does this distinction reflect itself to halacha? So Tosus, at the very, very beginning of Arvei Pesachim, and after the test, so Tosus raises the question about the Lashon HaMishnah. The Mishnah, in describing when the Seder begins, uses a very, very strange phrase. The Mishnah says, Atche Techshach. The Mishnah is talking about the prohibition of eating late in the afternoon on Arvei Pesach. We don't want you to eat too much late in the afternoon, lest you become too full, and then you're not going to eat the matzah l'teyavon, and that's going to be a problem. And why is that such a disaster? If you don't eat the matzah l'teyavon, so what? So there's a machlokes. So some say it's more like a hiddur mitzvah, it's like a chavivus mitzvah. If a guy sits down with the Seder and he's really, really enjoying his geshmak and he's really hungry, so that's like a more mehudadik way of fulfilling the mitzvah. But the guy sits to the Seder and he's kvetching. He's saying, oh, I'm stuffed to the gills. And he's kvetching the whole way. So that's a little bit less of a mahudadik way of doing the mitzvah. And there are others that we add on that maybe it's more than that. Maybe that if you eat the leteyavon, if you can eat because you're very hungry, then you can eat a lot more than the kezayis. Whereas if you're stuffed to the gills, you're going to measure and you're only going to have a bare bone minimum of kezayis. And why is that so important? To have more than a kezayis. So the din is the yotze with kezayis. So the Rambam writes in Perek Vav, Loch Aleph, Luchas Chomitz Matzah, the Rambam writes, Mitzvah Esse Lecho Matzah Velecho Misha Asu Benison, Misha Ocho Kezayis Yotze. So the Rambam introduces the mitzvah of eating matzah, and then kind of an afterthought, the Rambam writes, if you eat a kezayis, you're good to go, then you're a yotze. So the Netziv has a comment, why does the Rambam introduce first as a mitzvah sechila, and then backpedals and says, oh, by the way, kezayis is good. The Rambam should have written, mitzvah says, lecho kezayis matzah, lecho misha also, that the mitzvahs need a kezayis. Once they, why does the Rambam waste ink to tell you, sentence number one, period, and then capital letters and sentence number two, the Rambam should have incorporated the shir of kezayis into the very mitzvah itself. So the Netziv has been dying from the Rambam, that the Rambam held that be'erev techel matzah means to eat as much matzah as you can. The more the merrier. Any more matzah you eat by the Leila Seder is a mitzvah. There's the sheer gulyish bedover. If you ate a kezayis, you're yaitzah. If you didn't eat a kezayis, then you mamash were yaitzah, then you were mevatel the mitzvah. As long as you ate a kezayis, you can't say you were mevatel the mitzvah, but the more that you eat, the greater mitzvah there is. So if that's true, we pointed out yesterday that there's a Tosfos that may or may not have to say this, that Tosfos that we mentioned in Kiddushin yesterday, but the Rambam seems to say that idea. So that would be another reason why it would be a good idea to l'teyavon, not just because you're going to have a hidur mitzvah in terms of echos, in terms of qualitatively you're going to be eating it in a nicer way, you're going to be full, so it's going to be a greater expression of chavivus mitzvah, but quantitatively that's a good thing also, because that way you will enable yourself to eat more matzah than otherwise. So the bottom line is the Mishnah says you're not supposed to eat late in the afternoon because of this idea of eating l'teyavon. So the Mishnah says, until when? When can you start the Seder? So the Mishnah says, l'yochol abatshe techshach. After it gets dark, then you can begin the Seder. So Tosfos picks up on that losh abatshe techshach. Tosfos says, well, what does that mean, abatshe techshach? It means until it gets dark? Like, no pun intended, but manish tana pesach. Like, why does the Mishnah have to say that? Obviously, you can't start the Seder until Yantar starts. Like, why would one think that you could start before Pesach, before Yantar starts? So what is the significance of the phrase that Shetechshach? So Tosfos quotes two interpretations. So Tosfos, in the second interpretation, quotes from Rabbeinu Yehuda, one of the Balei Tosfos. Rabbeinu Yehuda says that the reason why the Mishnah has to highlight at Shetechshach is because one would have made a good case to think you could start the Seder early. Why is that? Because normally when you're being a korban, so I shech the korban at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so there's a mitzvah achilas kachim, so I start eating the korban right now. Some kabbanas are eating liyom v'layla, some are eating l'shnei yom v'layla, depending on whether it's kachim kalim, shlomim, chatos, etc. Some are eating for Yisraelim, some are eating all the bekohanim. Again, there are different dinim that govern different achilas kachim. But basically, the model of the achilas kachim is, when you finish the avodas hakorban, then you begin the mitzvah achilas hakorban. There's a mitzvah in the kabbanas for achlos of a shekupa behem. The Gemara says that malamich habayim oichav shakarim oichav habayim miskapim. One of the tag mitzvahs is the eating of besar hakorbanos. So there is a machlekes Rashi in the Rambam whether that mitzvah applies only to kachim kachim. That's the original context of that pasuk was by kachim kachim. So the Rambam writes it only applies there. But only Kohanim are allowed to eat kachim kachim. So according to the Rambam, if you're not a Kohen, you're never going to get that mitzvah. And Rashi writes in Sachem Nafin Test that it applies to kachim kalim as well. But everybody agrees it applies to Korban Pesach. Whatever you think it does or doesn't apply to other Korbanos, for sure there's a mitzvah achilas kachim by Korban Pesach. So Tosfos writes that I would have thought that just as when you have a Korban, you shek the Korban, you do Zukis Adam, then you start to eat it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I would have thought that you could begin to eat the Korban Pesach at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Kamash v'loh, no, at shetech shech, you have to wait, b'ochus abos b'layla zeh. That's the Chiddush of the Torah, that you can't start the Korban Pesach early. That's what Rabbeinu Yehuda says. And then Tosfos in the first answer quotes Rabbeinu Yechiel, quotes a different answer, that maybe the reason why the Mishnah highlights at shetech shech is to tell me this is in contrast to a regular Shabbos and a regular Yontif. On a regular Shabbos, a regular Yontif, there is no need to wait until Ad Shetech Shach. One can begin Shabbos early. One could start Shabbos ready from Plag HaMincha, which is well before it gets dark. So I would have thought, since Tosfos was just as on a regular Shabbos, regular Yontif, you can start the Suda early. I would have thought you could start the Seder early also. Kamash B'Lo, that's your Techshach. So at the end of the day, everybody agrees you can't start the Seder, that's your Techshach. That's a Mishnah. You can't argue with that. I mean, at least these Rishonim don't argue with that. But the Tosfos has two opinions. What about regular Shabbos and Yontif? So the first day in Tosfos said that that part of their interpretation is presupposing that a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov you can start early, and according to the second day, that assumption wasn't true. There is no halacha you can start a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov sooner early. What is the Nekudas of Machlokes? The 2 days of Tosfos. Again, by the Leila said everything's the same. Why would one think that the regular Shabbos you can and you can't? So this is a throwback to the Gemara in the fourth parak of Maseches Brachas. The Gemara has a shaila about the mitzvah of Zochus Shabbos Shabbos to catch him. There's a mitzvah to make Kiddush on Friday night. So the Gemara has a shaila, why did a person make Shabbos early? The person is Makabel Shabbos be Be'od Yom. Presumably he could do such a thing. Makabel Shabbos early. So he wants to make Kiddush be Be'od Yom. Is there anything wrong with that? So the Gemara says nothing wrong with that. The Gemara says that's fine. Omer Adam Kiddush Alakoy. The Gemara has a shaila. The Gemara has a peshit that the Rav Tzomer Shabbos, Rav Shabbos, used to make Shabbos early, he would make Kiddush Shalakos, and Shalom Yisrael. So you can make a Kiddush before Shabbos technically starts. So Taisa seems to be having two opinions here in Maseches Pesachim, but at that din of reciting Kiddush B'Yod Yom, does that spill over to Suda Shabbos as well? What is that Shaila? What does that depend upon? We spoke a little bit about this earlier, I think, in the year also. Why is it that you can make Kiddush B'Yod Yom? Like, it's a Pella. If it's not Shabbos yet, it's like Mecha Taisa. I don't remember Beit Tuvia, no? Beit Tuvia Vienna, we spoke about this a lot. So the simple pshat is, the reason why you can make Kiddush B'Yod Yom is that there's a mitzvah to Sefer Shabbos. And the Torah tells us that you're supposed to be Moisi B'Chol HaKodesh. You're supposed to begin Shabbos a little bit early. So since there's a mitzvah to begin Shabbos early, the Torah says is that when once you're Makabel Shabbos, it becomes like Shabbos, basically L'Chol Dover. So if it becomes like Shabbos, L'Gabi the mitzvah of Kiddush, it becomes like Shabbos, L'Gabi the mitzvah of Seuda. So that's what seems to be the first pshat of Torah Sim Sochim. The Torah said no qualms would be Makabel Shabbos early, Makabel Yom Tov early, you make Kiddush early, that's what the Gemara of Bracha says, then you have your Seuda early, and sharp, everything's good. Why is Pesach different? We have to figure out why Pesach is different. But that's the simple pshat in the Gemara. So what about, according to the other days in Taisus, the second day of Rabbi Yehuda that says you can't make Shabbos early, you can't have a Suda early, but the Gemara says you can make Kiddush early. The Gemara says the favorite you can make Kiddush early. What's the difference between Kiddush and Suda? So this is probably based on the following, that maybe the reason why you can make Kiddush early is not because of Tosefes Shabbos. That's not the engine that's driving the ability to make Kiddush early. What allows you to make Kiddush early is that Kiddush doesn't have to be done on Shabbos proper. The Taisus HaRosh, and that Gemara writes, that the Torah doesn't say Zohar B'Yom HaShabbos. The Torah says Zohar Es Yom HaShabbos. When the Rambam, when he quotes that Gemara, he writes, Zohar B'Chnisoso V'Ma'at Koidem, that when you make Kiddush as Shabbos is entering, the mitzvah of Kiddush is not a Shabbostika mitzvah. The mitzvah of Kiddush is a Knisa Shabbos. That as Shabbos is entering, you ushering in the Shabbos. You can usher in the Shabbos either a few minutes before, a few minutes later. So if I make, let's say, Shkia 6 o'clock. So if I make Kiddush at 5:30, that's called B'chnisa Shabbos. If I make Kiddush at 6:30, that's called Knisa Shabbos. If I make Kiddush at 10 o'clock, that's Chasidish Knisa Shabbos. It's also called, that's all considered to be Knisa Shabbos. So whatever is this man is called Knisa Shabbos, but the Evid, even later in the, maybe later in the night, maybe later tomorrow, it's all considered to be the Zman of Zohar. If you hold that the mitzvah of Kiddush is not linked to Kedusha Shabbos proper, but it's a din in the Kedusha Shabbos as the Mechayev of Kiddush, so then I can differentiate between that and Suda. Suda Shabbos has to be done on Shabbos. Yom HaShechlu HaYoyim, Ki Shabbos Yom HaShabbos, there's a mitzvah of Suda on Shabbos. Either Midaraisa, Midarabonon, we spoke about this earlier this year also, but the Gimel Suda is Midaraisa, Midarabonon, but the Suda Shabbos have to be on Shabbos. You can have Suda Shabbos before Shabbos, you can have Suda Shabbos after Shabbos. You have to have the Sudas on Shabbos proper. So maybe that's what Taisus in the second day, or Ben Yehuda held, that when it comes to Kiddush, that we can understand making it maybe a Yom. That makes sense. But to extrapolate from the to Suda, that would not be acceptable. You cannot be Yaitse Suda Shabbos maybe a Yom. So again, if you hold that the matir to make Kiddush early is based on Tosefes, so it probably carries over to Suda as well. If you hold that the matir is based on Knisa Shabbos, something unique about the Mechayev that's triggering Kiddush, so then one cannot extrapolate from the Etos of the Shabbos. At the end of the day, it's two opinions in Rishonim. The Ikim Ikra Din, we paskin like the first day in Tosus, that the way Mishabur paskins, that one can make early Shabbos, and one can fulfill Kiddush early, one can fulfill Sudash early, etc. Mishabur quotes that it would be preferable if a person has some, at the end of the meal, remembers, when it's already dark, take a small piece of challah, because I say challah, that way, liyesa says, you can fulfill the other day in Tosus. But the Ikim Ikra Din, we paskin that you can make Kiddush, you can have the Suda early as well. And yet, Taisus says that Pesach night parts ways. My high, why does no part of Manishtana? Why does Pesach night part ways? If Tosefes is good enough for Kiddush, if Tosefes is good enough for Suda, why isn't Tosefes good enough for Korban Pesach, the Matzah, Mar, etc.? So here Reb Chaim explains that the chiyum of Leil HaSeder are a little bit different than the chiyum of Kiddush and a little bit different than the chiyum of Sudeh Shabbos. So Reb Chaim explains as Chiddushim and Shas that what triggers the mitzvah of Kiddush, what triggers the mitzvah of Sudeh, is Kiddushas HaShabbos. So once, if you hold it, the Sefer Shabbos works. The Sefer Shabbos creates a personalized Kiddushas HaShabbos. So once Kiddushas HaShabbos, Kiddushas Yom Tov has begun, you can perform all the mitzvahs Hayyad. However, when it comes to the mitzvahs HaLayla of Pesach, it's not the Kiddushas Chag HaMatzos that's the trigger. It's the Leil Tesvav Nisan is the trigger. Harai, says Reb Chaim. Let's say a person forgot to eat a Friday night Sudah, so you can eat the Gimel Sudahs tomorrow. You can make up the meal you missed tomorrow, because it's the same conditions as Shabbos morning and Friday night. But let's say a guy forgot to eat Matzah to say it, he can't eat tomorrow. It's way too late, because the mitzvah is be'erev tech le'matzahs. So the mechayev of eating Matzah is not conditions chag matzahs. The mechayev, the trigger to be able to eat Matzah, is Leil Tesvav Nisan. That's the mechayev. So now, come the later poskim and say, we adopt this distinction. We paskin Friday night, you can make early. Yom Tov night, theoretically, you can make early. The Seder, you can't make early, because you can't perform the mitzvah laila. Which mitzvah laila can't you perform until the laila? So come in Pesach. Matzah goes together with Korban Pesach. Morrow goes together with Korban Pesach. What other mitzvah laila? So here, the Haredim write, that when Chazal and Misake in different mitzvahs halaila, so there are misakein that the mitzvah halayla of Pesach night, even those which are derabanan, go hand in hand with the zman derais, called the tikkun rabbanan kein derais and tikkun. So the same way that in Torah you can't eat the matzah early and you can't do sipatis mitzrayim early, so you can't make kiddush early either. Why is that? If kiddush would have only been kiddush, it would have been just a plain simple yontif kiddush, no more, no less. So then we could have justified making kiddush early. So I'll make kiddush early, and then by the time I get to anything of any significance, I get to the magid, so it'll already be another half hour, already be after taste kichavim. That would have been true if kiddush would have only been just a regular yontif kiddush. But the fact that kiddush is more than a yontif kiddush, the fact that kiddush is also one of the dalakoses, and dalakoses is one of the mitzvahs halayla, chazal misaka and dalakoses tik to chachamim, so they're misaka that you have to have dalakoses. If that's the case, then Dalakosos is governed by the Erev Tech L'Matzos, called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein D'Oraisa Tikkun. So you have to wait until it's Mamish Dark. So that's what the poskim write, that you should not begin the Seder early. You have to wait Mamish Teis Kichavim, because of this concern that otherwise you're going to be losing out the first of the Mitzvah Laila, this Mitzvah D'Rabban of Dalakosos. You have to wait until it's Mamish Shira time for Laila.
Why do we need this? Why can't you say the poskim says by Laila Zen, therefore that's it? No, 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 no.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what Reb Chaim is saying. It says Bachot Zbos Balayla Zeh. So it's a Laila that's a Mechayev. It's not just Daf Kedushas Tesvav Nisan. It's Dafka the astronomical dark. So when it gets dark, that's the Mechayev of the Mitzvah Zumat.
So where does the no preparation before such and such a time come from?
No preparation. That's for the second as a whole different ballgame. That's because you can't not allow to prepare from one Yontif to the next.
There's so no such thing on first Yontif.
I can rip and pull for Yontif. Okay. So I can't do anything halachic until it gets dark. I can do the other thing. I can sing Kaddish Ruchatz. I get my kittel on. I can find my pillow. From the average time it takes in a Jewish home, from the time you get home until you start to actually have the kiddush, could be an hour and a half. So all those things could be done. You have to find everybody, get everybody seated, you know, put a place cards out. They can all do it before you. Yeah.
According to the second
man,
you could make kiddush and separate that from the seudah.
Oh, so you want to know, according to Tosfos, what happened to Kishmak Besuda? Right? That's the bomb guy. Do we talk about this last year? We didn't talk about it. Okay, we'll talk about it now. So everyone jumps in this Tosfos about how could it be? How can Rabbeinu Yehuda claim that Kiddush Abadi Yaitse, that's a fair Shia Gemara, and Suda, Rabbeinu Yehuda claims you're not Yaitse on a regular Shabbos, regular Yom Tov. What happened to the principle of Kiddush Bakam Suda? Why isn't that a violation of the klal of Kiddush Bakam Suda? So, years ago, so I spoke to Rabbi Ram Osman Shlit about this kasha. So I said to him, I think maybe it depends upon, there is a machlekes and Rishonim, when in order to fulfill Kiddush Bakam Suda, does the Suda have to be a Suda Shabbos? Was it sufficient that it be a suit? Means the Kabbalah of Kiddush Bakam Suda doesn't mean it has to be typeface, it has to be chalon, and it's shame Suda Shabbos. As long as it's the Kiddush Bakam Suda, that would be sufficient. Why should that be true or not be true? So that probably depends on two opinions in the Rashbam. The Gemara says in Pesachim that you require Kiddush Malchus Suda. The Gemara beginning of Avri Pesachim says we paskin that you require Kiddush Malchus Suda. And the Gemara never explains why that's so. So the Rashbam offers two interpretations why. So one pshat the Rashbam says is because the pasuk of Karas LaShabbos Oneg, pasuk in Yeshayo, you have to connect the Kriyas LaShabbos, which is Kiddush, with the Oneg, which is the Suda. So you have to have a tzir, you have to have a connection between the two. And then the Rashbam writes another reason, is that even though min haTorah Kiddush doesn't require yayin, but min derabbanan they're misachin al yayin. Why are they misachin al yayin? To give it more chashivos. So the Rashbam says that yayin shebesoch hasuda is much more chashiv than yayin shelo besoch hasuda. It has to be a geshmak kind of a wine. A guy takes a cup of wine, he's running outside the street. That's not called a chashiv wine. A guy sits down for a big fancy banquet and he picks up a cup and he makes a toast to Kiddush Shabbos. That's much more chashivos. So those are the two reasons that the Rashbam gives. So if you hold like the first reason that you require a Karas LaShabbos Oneg, you have to have a tziruf between the Kiddush and the Oneg Shabbos, then the Suda has to be a Suda Shabbos. In fact, it's a Suda Friday afternoon, doesn't help me. But if you hold like the other reason of the Rashbam, that all you need is a Suda to create the Chashivas of the Yayin, so I create the Chashivas of the Yayin. It's not a Suda Shabbos, but I'm not worried about Suda Shabbos. I'll eat chal for my dessert. Right now, it's not a Suda Shabbos, but a Chashasuda it is. So maybe just a Suda B'Yalma is sufficient for the purposes of a Kiddush Makom Suda. That's what we spoke about 40 years ago. Yeah. No, Lemay said, Tos is talking about a regular, let's start again. Tos is talking about a regular Friday night. So Tos is saying that on a regular Friday night, a guy is going to make Kiddush on early. He wants to be fresh, he can make Kiddush early. So what's he going to do at that point? So he's not going to be, I'd say, Suda Shabbos at that point. So he's going to, right? So, means he's going to be hungry? He's going to make Kiddush and then do what? What's he exactly going to do at that point? Why is he making Kiddush early? The whole point of making Kiddush early was that he was able to have the meal. So how is that going to happen? So the Chavar Tosfos meant is that he's going to have to eat and then somebody has to have a Suda at a later point.
With this understanding, we're saying that Shabbos hasn't really started when you make Kiddush?
I mean, again, there is a din of Tosefta Shabbos according to some. Some Rishonim say there is such a bit of Tosefta Shabbos. So then once you makabel Shabbos, you made it into Shabbos. So if you hold that that's the reason why you're allowed to make Kiddush early, because you mamish made it into Shabbos, so then you made it to Shabbos. The Gabi said also. If you hold like the Rambam that Tosefta Shabbos that doesn't even exist, and it definitely doesn't make it into Shabbos, so then how can you make Kiddush? The answer is it doesn't have to be Shabbos for Kiddush. Nisa Shabbos is good enough. You don't need a Kiddush Shabbos for Kiddush.
According to this, we're proposing that we make Kiddush earlier with a Suda, but not a Shabbos Suda.
Right.
Is it a problem to have a Suda on Friday afternoon?
Half the Torah holds not a problem. Half the Torah say you're allowed, there is no din about you. She kanas a Shabbos mitayv. That's the chalakis to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, the beginning of Rabbi Pesach.
Is there a time between Kiddush and Suda?
Is there a time?
You say you're making the Kiddush in your house and then you have Suda later.
Right, so that's good. So again, the Gemara always speaks about Kiddush b'mokom Suda. The Gemara never used the phrase Kiddush b'zman Suda. The Rishonim add on that idea of Kiddush b'zman Suda. Even though it's a funny thing, on Pesach night, it's the old bit, not Kiddush b'zman Suda. You don't need to Suda until 3 hours later. So we assume that's all considered to be part of the Kiddush b'mokom Suda.
So maybe that for Shabbos, it's the problem. You make Kiddush earlier, and then you just eat Suda later.
Yeah, but it's a funny thing. So why are you running to make Kiddush? The whole point of the whole reason why they used to make Kiddush early is in order to go to sleep, to be able to learn whatever, to make Kiddush and then to sit around for an hour and a half. So what's the point of that? Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah.
I think the past says by Tosefta Shabbos that it's like it becomes Laila.
Yeah.
So with him and Reb Chaim, he'd be able to make Kiddush.
So that's tricky. That's Reb Chaim. The Taz doesn't really say it becomes Laila. The Taz says it gets the Kiddush Sayom. The Taz says that the case by Shmini Atzeres. The Taz says once you become Shmini Atzeres, it becomes Kedusha Shmini Atzeres. So Reb Chaim is claiming that even though that may be true, it gets Kedusha Sayom, but to say that it's astronomical Laila, that's very hard to say. So the Taz, you're right, the Taz has a funny kasha. He has the kasha from Kriyashma, and he has these funny kashas. The Pashup Pshat, the answer to all those kashas is that Chiluk of Reb Chaim. But the Taz, you're right, doesn't seem to go along with that Reb Chaim. The Taz, by asking those kashas.
He says it's Laila, or he doesn't?
So it's tricky. He doesn't for his shtickle Torah. He doesn't need to say that's Laila, and then he gets into trouble by asking the kasha from Kriya Shema. There was nothing prompting. He could have said the whole shtickle Torah without that last 20 lines about the Kriya Shema. Okay, anyway, back to that story. So again, we try to look at this at Kaddish, at the Leil HaSeder, and we realize that Kaddish is being looked at through a different set of eyes, that it's not just Kiddush, but it has that dimension of the first of the Adalah Kozos. There may be other aspects to why that's important, that it's the first of the Adalah Kozos. You may have a situation, you may have some individuals who are potter from Kiddush, and are still chayavos in... that was a bit addictive because I said that, gave it away, who are obligated in the mitzvah of the Al-Kaisis. So we spoke about this earlier this year as well. Rabbi Kivega is a tremendous chiddush in his tshuvas. Remember that first tshuva? The tshuva Aleph. So Rabbi Kivega is a chiddush that he doesn't think that women are chayavas in Kiddush and Yantif. Because the Gemara says in Brachas Daf Chaf that Kiddush and Shabbos is the exception to the rule, that women are chayavas even though it's a Zman Grama. So Rabbi Kivega writes that women are pturos. He thinks they're pturos from Kiddush and Yantif. We probably don't paskel like this. This is part of that whole theory we spoke about. Rabbi Kivega, the woman who forgets Yalav Yovel. We had a long discussion about this earlier this year. But when it comes to Dalai Kosos, so about the women of Chayavos, the Gemara says Pemoli, the women of Chayavos, Nashim Chayavos and Dalai Kosos, Ave and Hayavi also an ace. So it comes out a very, very strange thing that a woman has to participate in the first of the Kosos, but for her, she's not really obligated to Alts Kiddush, she's only obligated Alts Dalai Kosos. That's a big, big Kiddush. There's Tosfos that's against that. Tosfos writes in Masechet Sukkah Daf Lamed Ches that he thinks that even though women are pturos from Halal the rest of the year, because it's Man Grama, Halal and Pesach Nai, he thinks women are Chayavos. And why, Tosfos says? If the Chayavos and Dalai Kosos, so then by definition, the Chayavos and the Dalai Mitzvahs are Laila. The four mitzvahs of Adibra of Leil Pesach are Kiddush, there's Haggadah, there's Birchas Hamazon, and there's Halal. Each one of them has a Kos. So Tosfos says you can't split between the two. Whoever's Chayav in Dalai Kosos, by definition, must be Chayav in all the mitzvahs of Laila. So Rabbi Kivega wouldn't say that. Rabbi Kivega would be against that Tosfos. Rabbi Kivega is claiming that women are not Chayavos out Kiddush, and Afal Bichayim, the Gemara is the Feresh, the Chayavos out Dalai Kosos. Are there any other differences that Kiddush on Pesach Night has because it's rooted in Dalai Kosos as well? So we spoke about this also. There's a famous Tosfos, the beginning of Arvei Pesachim. The Tosfos has a shaila whether I can be Meitzi somebody else in Dalai Kosos. So for sure I can be Meitzi in Kiddush on Pesach Night. The question is, can I be Meitzi in the drinking of the Dalai Kosos? So Tosfos is not sure about that. Maybe all Dalai Kosos requires is the Bala Seder gets up, he makes Kiddush, everyone has a mind to be Yaitzi. And then the Baal Seder sits down and drinks the cup of wine. And then we get Tashir Galana, the same story. Get the Birchas Hamazon, the same Pizman. Holly, the same story. And then Tosfos backpedals and says, they're not sure. Maybe it's not going to work. So what's the suffix in Tosfos? Why should it work or why should it not work? So the Brisker Rav explains what the Baal Tosfos were stopping about is the fundamental question as to what exactly this whole idea of the mitzvah of Dalai Kosos is all about. Because we get almost like two different messages from Chazal about what the purpose of Dalai Kosos is. So on the one hand, the Gemara uses the lashon that there are four mitzvahs alayla, and therefore each one of the mitzvahs alayla is done alakos, Kiddush alakos, and Haggadah alakos, and Birchas Hamazon alakos, and Halal alakos. So in one place in Arvei Pesachim, the Gemara seems to emphasize that it's really basically mitzvahs alayla, and the mitzvah shebedibur of Leil Pesach were heightened up a little bit to make it to be alakos shel yayin. And then in other places, you get the sense that the mitzvah of Dalai Kosos is more of a function of the drinking of Dalai Kosos. That's the way the Rambam presents it. The Rambam writes that Chacham Tiknu, to drink Dalai Kosos, Echel Echeirus, it's supposed to be a demonstration of Bechol Dor B'dor, Chayvan Mahar, Statsim Filiyot Mitzrayim. The Rambam highlights that there seem to be two different obligations on Pesach night that revolve around that phrase, Bechol Dor B'dor, Chayvan Liros Asatzmo. That's the Mishnah at the end of Pesachim. So in the text of the Mishnah, it says Chayvan Liros Asatzmo. When the Rambam quotes it in one place, he writes Liros, and another place he quotes Laharos. He quotes two different versions of the same mitzvah. So those two aspects are really very different from one another. Liros is a psychological mitzvah. Liros is a rational mitzvah. I have to sit around and think about as an Alach Mitzrayim. Laharos means that I have to demonstrate it. I have to show it to other people. So when the Rambam quotes the obligation of Dalai Kosos, the Rambam introduced it by saying, "B'chol dor v'dor chayvan laharos asatzmo kliyotz Mitzrayim." And every generation, you have to demonstrate the Alach Mitzrayim, and therefore tiknu chacham to drink Dalai Kosos. So you get the impression from the Rambam that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of laharos, but the Torah doesn't say what that laharos is going to be. It's each person for themselves. This is a common theme there, and Rambam has this many, many places, where there are mitzvahs at Torah which don't have a specific setting to them. They don't have a specific way, parameters of how to do it. It's a very, very generalized, personalized kind of mitzvah. The Rambam has this in Hilchos Tefillah, midaraisi, you have to daven to Rebbeinu Shlomo. What you say, when you say, who you say, each person for themselves. And then 1,000 years later, in the days of Anshei Knesset Gedolah, they decided for historical, sociological reasons, they codified everyone should be saying the following text at the following times. But midaraisa, each person for themselves. And then the Ram has the same thing by Kiddush, that midaraisa, there's no text for Kiddush. You should just say, good Shabbos, Kiddush, Zechat, Sis, Mitzrayim. You say whatever you want to say that expresses the idea of Shavach, HaShabbos, HaKadoshosai, that's good enough midaraisa. And then the Chachamu Misakim, in Divrei Sofer, in the days of the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, they wanted it to be uniformity, so they instituted the text of Shekinishar, Mitzrayim, Shabbos, Kod, Shechob, Yavim, the text that we're familiar with in Kiddush. So the Ram seems to say the same thing, Lagabi de Lo HaSeder, that Minat Torah, everyone's supposed to put on their own show. So one guy's going to walk around singing Power in Pajamas in the middle of the night. Another guy's going to, frogs here. Everyone's going to put on their own demonstration, their own skits on Pesach night. And the Chacham wanted to make sure that everyone does the same thing. So what's our skit? Everyone sits around together and we all lean and we pour wine in our kittles, get ourselves dirty, and we drink Dalakaisis, Derech L'Cheiros, and Shoyed. That's the skit that everybody has to put on together. That's with the Rabbanan Dik away that you fulfill the Chiyav of Bechol, Dover, Dorchayev, Adam, Maharos. So the Rambam is highlighting the fact that Dalakosis is more of a shtia kind of a thing. The real focus of Dalakosis is the drinking of Derech Eiros, and just kind of as an afterthought, Chazal said, instead of drinking four cups at the beginning and everyone falling asleep, so they spread it out over the Leil HaSeder, and we're Imkvar Azkvar, already drinking Dalakosis, so you stick one at Kiddush, one at Haggadah, one at Benching, one at Hallel, but it's not that Benching requires a Kodesh. It's not that Hallel needs a Kodesh. It's not that Haggadah needs a Kodesh. There's a chiv dalakosis that, as an afterthought, was plugged into these mitzvahs alayla. Whereas the Gemara in one place seems to say the other way. My nafkamina, whether it starts as a mitzvah shibadibur or it starts as a derech eiros. So the Bishkei Rav explains that's exactly what Taisus wasn't sure about. If it starts as a mitzvah shibadibur, so then it's fundamentally subject to the rules of Shemek Oina. I could be motzi you in Kiddush. I could be motzi you in Haggadah. I could be motzi you in the dalakosis. It's not so important that you drink the wine because the ultimate mitzvah is it's a dibur alakos. So the same way I can be motzi you in Kiddush and Avdol every other Shabbos in Yontif, I can be motzi you in the dalakosis. If you hold that the function of the mitzvah, the goal of the mitzvah is not really the mitzvah of a dibur. The goal of the mitzvah is the derech heiros. So how am I going to experience heiros if you are drinking the wine? Everyone's got to drink the cup of wine in order to fulfill the idea of derech heiros. So that suffix that Tosfos has seems to touch on the very nekuda what exactly dalakosis is. So we assume halacha aminig is everyone has their own kos. It does mean everyone has to make their own kiddush. One person can make kiddush for you, but everyone has to drink the amount of the kos. It's not enough just to have a little taste. Not enough to be yaitz shemek koina. Everyone has to drink because we assume that kiddush on Pesach night is not just kiddush. It's kiddush plus. It's kiddush plus the kiyum of derech eiros, the kiyum of the mitzvah the rabbanon of leil haseder, the mitzvah of dal kos leil haseder, the fulfillment of the deraisa bechol dover dor. Yes, I'm still altogether. What is it? Just open up. Okay. I answered. Okay, great. Even better.
So we could say that everyone has to have a close, but it could be that only one person says anything.
Right, that's what we do. That's what most people do. Right? Most people don't have to everyone make their own kiddush on Pesach night. Most people just the Baal Seder makes kiddush. Everyone listens and drinks their own wine.
And as we said that works because normally we wouldn't do that for Birkas Hananin, but this is also a mitzvah bracha.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's even Birkas Hananin. This would work. I'm going to drink also. Birch Zanen, the Kiddush that Kiddush has is that even if I'm not going to drink, if I'm going to drink, for sure that works. For sure I can be made to Birch Zanen and Bar Pia Goffin if I'm drinking. The Kiddush is, the Gemara is in the end of the third Rosh Hashanah, is that even if I'm not going to drink, so Birch Zanen and there's no Arvus, that wouldn't work, but by Bar Pia Goffin, if Kiddush Atacha does work. But the Rambam writes this din that Bechol Dor Vador, so the Rambam adds something to that Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Bechol Dor Vador, Shenem V'Yasano Tzim Misham. The Rambam writes, V'al Dabba Zeh Tzivana V'Torah, V'Zachar Tekiyev V'Yisim Mitzrayim V'Shabbat V'Sisach Zachuk Ma'ela. So the Rambam says that this idea, Bechol Dor Vador, that is the trigger for this mitzvah. That's why the Torah gives us this pasuk that says, V'Zachar Tekiyev V'Yisim Mitzrayim. So somehow this pasuk, Zacharta, is part of the source of Bechol Dor Vador. This is what the Torah is describing, the mitzvah b'chol dor b'dor, v'zachar tekev nisiv mitzrayim. This is a very, very difficult Rambam, because this pasuk v'zachar is not on Pesach. The pasuk v'zachar is in two places. It appears by Shabbos, in the Dibros, in Parash V'schanon, and it appears by Shavuos, in Parash V'sra'ei. So the Rambam writes that v'zachar tekev nisiv mitzrayim is part of the mitzvah b'chol dor b'dor, which is the big pella, because the chiyuv b'chol dor b'dor is l'chor only on Pesach night. The din l'haros, you don't put a show on Shavuos night. You don't put a show on Friday night. Only on Pesach night is there a chiyuv lahar says atzmo. So why in the world does the Rambam quote that pasuk of b'chol dor v'dor, the maimer of Chazal b'chol dor v'dor, link you to a pasuk that doesn't even appear by Pesach altogether? So it's not a big pell on the Rambam why the Rambam quotes that. But whatever, an answer, not for now. So getting back to that story. So we have differences between Pesach night's Kiddush and a regular Kiddush. We have differences in terms of Zman, according to Rav Kiveg, differences in terms of who's Chayav, according to one Pshat and Tosfos, differences between whether I can apply the regular rules of Shemek or not. There may be some other differences also in terms of how much wine you have to drink. We spoke about this also earlier this year. I told you it says 90% Chazor and 10% of some new stuff. For the new guys here, for the guests here, we welcome. So it's hopefully 90% new stuff. So the din is that Havavar Tzor Sheyitayim. When you make Kiddush, so you have to drink. How much you have to drink? The Gemara says, my lugma. You have to drink a cheekful. So a cheekful is a rove of a revius or something. Let's say a guy has a 10-ounce cup. There's no need to drink most of the cup. You can just drink my lugma, and that's acceptable. So on Pesach night, some of the Rishonim say that you have to drink a rove hakos. My high. Manishtana, you have to drink a rove hakos. So that's what the Bishnu Rav explains, that when you're talking about a mitzvah sheva dibor, so I basically have to make Kiddush. I really don't have to drink altogether. So what I have to drink? I'm about to actually hit the Gnai of the Kose. Whatever the reason is, I have to drink a little bit of the Kose. But it's not necessary to drink the whole Kose. Whereas when it comes to Dalakosas, the Chiyav is to drink the whole Kose. At Derecheres, I have to drink Dalakosas. So Chazal Masaka to drink Dalakosas. So we have a rule called Rubik Akulo. That the same way when you shecht an animal, so if you shecht Rov, that's good enough. So if you drink Rov Kose, that's also good enough. So it's not a din of Shtiyas. It's not a din of Te'ima. It's a din of Shtiya. So when it comes to te'ima means in my lugma. When it comes to shtiyas hakos, it's kos. If you decide to pick an eliyahu navi kos, you're having 40-ounce goblets, good luck. But you have to have 21 ounces each time in order to fulfill the din of dalak kosis. And other Rishonim say it's not true. There never was such a halacha. So that's what the Brisker Rav explains also. That nekuda, that some Rishonim are mechadesh, that you have to drink rov hakos on Pesach night, that's because the mitzvah of Kadesh has that added component in terms of not just Kiddush, but it's also the first of the Dalakos. So the bottom line is, you got to make a Kiddush on Pesach night with Kadesh. Then we can make a Siyum on Kadesh. We spent enough time talking about Kadesh. So let's move on to the next part of the Seder. So Orchatz. Why exactly are we washing Orchatz? So the Gemara said the famous why. Because in a minute from now, we're about to dip our vegetables into some kind of a liquid. The Gemara doesn't say what liquid you're going to dip it into. Different communities have different customs. The Ashkenazi communities have the custom of dipping the karpas into salt water. Some of the Sfaradim don't. What do you guys dip it into?
Salt water.
So, guys, they were corrupted. They're not real Sfaradim. It's all a sham. But the Rambam describes dipping into chareses, whatever it was. So different communities have different practices. So everyone agrees you have to dip into something. So the Gemara says in Arvei Pesachim that since you're going to take your vegetable and you can put it into a liquid, that's what's called Dovashet Tibula B'mashke. Anything that's Tibula B'mashke requires the Tilsi Yadayim. Why in the world do you have to wash this dime because Tibula B'mashke? Because of a tucked away Chumra D'Rabbanan combined with the Din D'Rais, and we put together 15,000 pieces of Taurus, so you realize that Yadayim are, Stam Yadayim are treated like Shneas, and a Dabba that's a Sheni L'tumah has the ability mid-Rabbanan to make a mashke into a Rishon L'tumah, which is backwards of regular lochas. And then the Rishon is going to make the food a Sheni, and I'm a Makayin, that's going to be, I'm going to be eating Truma that's Stami, and the world's going to come to an end. So the bottom line is that mid-Rabbanan, they instituted that you have to wash the Yadayim because it's very, very intricate din details in terms of a chistum of a tahara. Some of these dinim, some of these very, very, very detailed areas of tum v'tahara were, not all of them, but a whole group of them were added very, very late in Jewish history. I mean, late in terms of right before Churban Bayis Sheni. There were tum v'tahara d'raisa, that was around the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. There were a lot of chumras d'rabbanan that were made throughout the years. But then there's like almost like the last batch, like right before the Beis Hamikdash came down, there was a whole last hurrah of different chumras d'rabbanan that were instituted in the realm of tum v'tahara. Some of them were included in what we call the Yilches Dover, sugyas in Masechah Shabbos. They were instituted in the days of Shammai Hillel. Shammai Hillel lived right before the Churban. So the Chazal made all these different chumras in Hilchas Tum V'Tara close before the Beis Hamikdash was being destroyed. So Rabbi Chaim Oizer writes in Hagdama to what is Chaloch Menachem Ezer, that he writes that historically it's such a bizarre thing that here it was almost the Churban. The Romans had already conquered Eretz Israel. Everything was, they saw the curtain. Everyone who had any understanding realized The verse says Rabbi Tzadok already chap 40 years before the Churban. It's the beginning of the end. Everybody already knew that the Beis HaMikdash was not going to last for very long, and everybody realized that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. That's going to pretty much shut down all of Tum Vatara, because at some point we're going to run out of Paraduma, and at some point we're not going to have Kachim, we're not going to have Trumas. So anyone who had a little bit of insight, Heliget Tarim, Hilul V'Sham, and Tamidim realized that this is not around forever. So it was a very, very wonderful thing that one would think that at this time, when there were so many problems, Chaisel was suffering from such internal fights and external fights in the Roman legions. It was a terrible, terrible gefelicha, you know, a tsaros that were beginning to befall Jewish people. One would have thought that the last thing on the mind of the Chachmei HaTanoim would have been to sit around and make learn sugyas in Taras, the most intricate details of details, Dibbal HaDuchas Tuvatara, a very, very bizarre thing. So Chaim Moshe writes that that's exactly what we do. Not that we do bizarre things, but it's exactly what Chaisel has always done. He says that even at a time when things look like the darkest and the bleakest, said, all we do is sit and learn Torah and do mitzvahs, and we learn Torah like as if it's completely irrelevant to what else is going on around us. It's totally, completely irrelevant. But the basic mission is going to last for 1,000 years, it's going to last for 10 minutes. We have to learn Tum V'Tara, and we have to make, if we feel there's a need to make a gezeira, that your wet cucumber is going to become tummy and make your hands tummy, so be it. So we're going to make takonas in the realm of Tum V'Tara, that Torah is so eternal, Torah is so basically eternal to the Jewish people, it doesn't make the slightest bit of difference what in the world is going on around us. That was the message of the Tanoim. Keep on learning and keep on studying and keep on making new takonas and make on figuring out what the din should be. That's all. So Reb Chaim Moshe writes that in his introduction because he thinks that people are going to criticize him for writing his sefer. His sefer Achiezer, so part of it is Lamaisa. There are tshuvas that are Lamaisa, but there are good parts of Achiezer that are not Lamaisa. Pulu's got a whole section on Kachim and Tyrus and tshuvas that have nothing to do with anything of any resemblance to what was going on in Europe in his days. It was in a whole other world, the world of Mikdash and Kachim and Tyrus, everything. So Chaim Moshe says people are going to criticize him for writing this sefer. He says the Jewish community is such gefelich, things are so terrible, there's mechamis and gefelich, and so much suffering in the Jewish community. Why am I writing a sefer on Kachim and Tyrus? So he writes, because that's what the Tanoim did. He said that we follow in the footsteps of Chachmei HaTorah, that no matter how bleak the world looks. And then he goes on in his reduction and just describes how terrible things are for the Jewish people, and we're in such a horrific position, and the Muhammad finally came to an end, and now we're suffering so terrible from the Muhammad. So if you don't know anything about history, you would think he's referring to World War II. He's not. He died in the middle of World War II. Chaim Moshe died a natural death right before the Nazis took over Lithuania. So he died in 1940, whatever it was. So he's not describing World War II. He's describing World War I. He said that the Jewish people suffered so much in World War I. The only reason why in history nobody bothers learning about World War I is because it was so surpassed by the events of World War II. But World War I was gefelich for the Jews, not because it wasn't like World War II where there were mamish so much persecution against Jews per se, but the upheavals of war were so terrible that people were suffering. There was so much poverty and so much sorrows that people had to leave their towns, and there was so much gefelich problems that erupted in the world during those years. The Jews suffered so much. So Chaim Moshe is writing the tshuvas in 1920, 2 years after World War I, and writing what a terrible position the Jewish people are in. How much more so would he have written those tshuvas at different times later in the century? And the answer was always the same. That you go back to Kosh Mataris, back to making Gezeris Durabana and Shnias Latumba, and then just think about that when you wash Orchatz, so you can share that with your family at Orchatz. So you're right, we come to wash Orchatz. So the Gemara says, why are we washing Orchatz? Because of this intricacy in Uchas Tumba B'Tahara. So there was a big, big machlekes that we've shown him about this din midrabban that appears in Avri Pesachim, called Davish Tibul B'Mashkes, Tarni Tilis Yadayim, whether this din applies B'Zman Hazeh. So why shouldn't it apply B'Zman Hazeh? So some Rishonim said, it only applies B'Zman Metub V'Tahara Noyeg. The Gezeh was not made as a Lod Plug L'Doyrus. It was only made at a time when you observed Tum V'Tahara. It wasn't made B'Zman Hazeh. That was one opinion of Rishonim. And other Rishonim said, Mapitom. It was a takana that was made, that cycle of Dairus. It was takana sachavim, although it was rooted in Tum V'Tahara. It applies even in the time when there's no Tum V'Tahara. So this was a big machlekes. So in Shulchan Aruch, in Chelek Beis Mishavur, in Huchas Tilis Yadayim, so Shulchan Aruch makes reference to both of these opinions. And he writes, therefore, when a person eats a davash tibul b'mashker, he should wash. Because probably most Yishayim say that it didn't apply to his ban hazeh, but he shouldn't make a bracha. And there's something brachas in deference to the view that disagrees, so it's better to wash without a bracha. That's what the Shulchan Aruch passes. The Vilna Gaon says it's not true. You have to wash with a bracha. The Gros says that the Rub of the Rishayim said it didn't apply to his ban hazeh. We pass it's not even a suffix. But you have to wash with the bracha. So here, when it comes to the Leil HaSeder, so those who follow the Gra, those who make a bracha all year long, so they make a bracha on Seder night also. But those who don't follow the Gra, most people there don't follow the Bidigah Gra on this. So we follow on Pesach night the same thing we do the rest of the year. We wash, albeit without a bracha. So the Taz in Ilchus Pesach makes a makes an observation, right? The Taz makes an observation that he writes that it is a very, very strange custom that exists in many Jewish communities. He said many people are not so careful all year long when they eat the wet fruits and wet vegetables to wash the Yadayim. Many people are following that minority view that you don't have to. And when it comes to Pesach night, so then all of a sudden everybody's washing. So nobody, because it says in the Matzvah House HaGadah, Urchat, so that's where everybody goes to wash. He said, otherwise, the Uncle Moshe songs off, Kadesh blind, Karpus, everyone washes Urchat. So why are you washing Urchats for, says the Taz? Last week, you ate a wet apple. You didn't wash Urchats. Last night, when you stuck your Danish into your milk, you didn't wash Urchats. So why are you washing Urchats by the Seder? So the Taz says, he doesn't understand Klai, so he doesn't understand. Those people who follow the Shulchan Aruch, and they wash all year long, but those people who are makil against the Gra, against Shulchan Aruch, they don't wash Bechlal, they follow the minority view. So why did they bother washing into Leil HaSeder? That's the Taz's kasha. So to dramatize the kasha a little bit, the Taz made a little bit of humor. So the Taz has a little bit of a humor streak in him. So the Taz writes that why do people wash on Pesach night? Anyone know his joke? Manish Tal is Emikol Elos. That's his joke. That's a joke. And Poland in the 1500s was a miserable place, and any joke that you could possibly say was would go miles. So the Taz has the kasha. Manish Tal is Emikol Elos. So I always said there were two Tazes I remember that he tries to crack some kind of a joke. The other Taz is the Taz you referenced before, the Taz Meshmini Atzeres. That Taz that says, he quotes a Marshal that says, on Meshmini Atzeres night, you can't eat early, because if you eat early, and your chutz starts, you can't eat early, because if you're going to eat, it's still maybe Yod Yom, then you have to make a Leisha Besukah. But you already make Kiddush of Meshmini Atzeres, so you can't make a Leisha Besukah. So he says, the Marshal says, you have to wait till it gets dark. You can't eat, this Ben HaShmash, you can't eat the Nishtinish Teher on Shmini Atzeres night, because you're not sure what to do with the Bracha. So the Taz disagreed with that Marshal. So in the middle of that tirade that Taz has against that Shittin Marshal, the Taz writes, he says, no, the Marshal's wrong. He was Gazer Tainis and Kai Yisrael Bechidam, that he made the Jewish people fast for nothing. You know, fast, right? It's the end of Chesh Tishrei. The guys have been putting on 10 pounds already this whole month. Everyone's all been doing is eating and eating and eating the whole week of Yom Tov. So the Taz was joking when he said, Goz the tightness of Klai So Bechidim, that he would make Klai So wait for another 10 minutes before making Kiddush and Shmini Atzeres night. It wasn't such a good joke, but you gotta take what you get. Anyway, so what's the answer to the Taz's taina? What's the Libet Chus? I won't ask for show of hands. Who here washes Urchats all year long? Who's supposed to wash again? So nobody answered. So by high Manish Dalas and Kolela. So the Netziv suggested that maybe the Yishuv, the Minig Yisrael, is as follows: that on Pesach night we do a lot of things of Zeichel Mikdash, a whole array of different kiyum that we do in Zeichel Mikdash. We spoke about this earlier this year. We do Kairach Zeichel Mikdash, and according to the Rosh, we have to come in Zeichel Mikdash. There are some who argue that the way of a kittel. It's not clear where this minute came from, the way a kittel by the Leil HaSeder. There were two different approaches in the postgame of why we are kittel. Some say it's because we're trying to knock ourselves down a little bit, because we may feel a little bit gaibedik. We're sitting there with all our fancy dishes and all fancy silverware. We feel real, really good about ourselves. So we say, relax a little bit. Someday you'll be wearing this kittel, and it's not going to be such a happy, cheery proposition. So it puts people into the proper perspective. And the others will say, no, that's not the purpose of wearing a kittel on Pesach night. The purpose of wearing a kittel on Pesach night is a zechel mikdash. Because in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, when people ate korbanos, so they mamash dressed up, they put on very, very fancy, put on the rebbeshe, but not bekeshe. They're just coming to the Beis HaMikdash, coming to eat a korban, mishum gavay kezochel. You have to put on a very, very special robe to eat be a sign of purity, a kedusha v'tara. So they used to eat in these long white robes to show that they were eating like malachi asharis, but a table with Ribbono Shelom. So that's why, by Leil HaSeder, even though Nebuchadnezzar, we don't have a korban pesach, but we try to mimic the korban pesach as much as possible. So someone, the Netziv, argued that maybe that's the reason why we wash Urchats on Pesach night. Not because we're mechuyev to. We paskin, most people paskin, like the view that Urchatz doesn't really apply anymore. There's no to retire, no Bisa Mikdash, no Kaban, just forget the whole din of Urchatz. But on Pesach night, we do it Zechel Mikdash. The same way that Avoseinu, when they sat down and they made Karpas and the Bezban Mikdash, so they all washed. So to Bezban is that, even we who don't wash on a regular Tuesday, we will wash on Pesach night. So if that's the Bir Adover, so that would explain otherwise strange minhag that exists in some families, some communities had a minhag that only the father washes ruchos, nobody else washes ruchos, or the Baal HaSeder washes ruchos, or the father eats matzah. What does that mean? So the answer is that though some of the things that we do in Leil HaSeder, that is not all, but some of them, so maybe only for the father. Let's say, Lamasha, we have Shtei Tafshilin. The Gemara says that after the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, so Chacham instituted that you put two cooked dishes on the Seder table, that one should remind you of the Korban Pesach, and one should remind you of the Korban Chagiga. So we pass, you don't need the two dishes in front of everybody. Not everyone has their own Pesach, has a Ka'ara, that you have your shank bone, your egg, whatever Shtei Tafshilin that you take. I'm not going to ask you which Shtei Tafshilin you take. Which do you take, brother? No, okay. So Ashkenazi customers take us Rana Beitza, but it's not Ma'akid. The Gemara says, also do that. Why not? So the Gemara says, where'd you film it? Where'd you follow from? So the Gemara says befavors that the takon of having Shnei Tafshilin was not to have any particular tafshil. Not Chazal said you have to have a roasted something and an egg. The takon was to have any Shnei Tafshilin. The minhag became later. Our communities have certain specific ones. The Gemara tells us the story that one of the Amoraim used to put a bowl of rice. And versus Rav used to put a bowl of rice down at the Seder. Well, why did he put a bowl of rice? Because it's cooked. Well, he couldn't find quinoa. He couldn't find anything else. Why did he put the rice? So the Gemara says, because he wanted everybody to realize that we don't follow Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri held, we spoke about him also earlier this year, he held that rice can become chametz. Rice can become chametz. You're not going to put a bowl of cooked rice. You have to be careful to have it within 18 minutes. It's going to become chametz. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was outvoted. The Gemara says, Leis tachash Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Nobody, none of the Amoraim followed Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. And therefore, Rava, to indicate that, he would dafka use a bowl of rice at the Seder. So Ashkenazim are probably not going to do it. Probably not such a great idea to have a bowl of rice sitting around at the Seder. We don't do that because of minhagim, of kidneys. But the Ikra din, even a bowl of rice would be good. So you can put that, a bowl of rice and a sweet potato or something, and that could be a shtei tafshilin. So if you do that, if you tell your mother that's what she could use at the Seder, she'll tell you that you're crazy. But the Ikra din, that's right. Anything you have would be, any cooked dish would be good enough. So that takona of having shtei tafshilin, that's not lefnei kol echad v'yechad, that's only in front of the Baal HaSeder. So that highlights the idea that many of the zeichas that we do are not necessarily for everybody. It's enough for zeicha for everybody. So according to the Yitziv, that would explain that practice that some communities, some families have, that only the Baal HaSeder washes. If you hold like Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Tirus Yadayim, that you have to wash when you have an apple that's wet on a regular Tuesday, so obviously everybody has to wash. So everyone should remember to wash, albeit without making a bracha. That's like one of the biggest stressful moments of the Seder. Everyone announces, don't make a bracha, don't make a bracha. Drive everybody crazy, don't make a bracha, don't make a bracha. But then inevitably somebody forgets to make a bracha. So they feel so guilty, they don't know what to do. We made a bracha, chatos, if he's pshat. So he followed the Goyen also made a bracha. So he made a bracha. It's not so bad. He followed Minhag Yagro. I think Rabbi Shechter once told us that, and I forgot what the topic was, but a guy was saying that, yeah, he follows Minhag Yagro. He follows Chagro, follows Minhag Yagro. So he said that some people walk around claiming that they found Minhag Yagra. One of the Minhag Yagra was to learn 22 hours a day. That was one of the Minhags that the Gra had. So somehow, most people, to say Shvach Ocho, that's easy. Not to say Brach Shem Yalom, that's easy. But not to say Mishomu, that's easy. But to learn 22 hours a day, that's long. That Minhag Yagra. And I followed the other person. So you only have to learn 20 hours a day. Okay, anyway, back to the story. So we got the Kadesh Urcha. It's Karpas. Okay, Karpas. So where did Karpas come from? So we also spoke about this earlier this year. That Karpas, the Gemara says, is not really a takonos chacham. It's not a mitzvah of Karpas. Karpas was instituted just kadesh yishlot yinakis, that the kids should ask questions. Why is that so important that the kids should ask questions? So Reb Chaim writes in his Chedushim on Shas that it's critical. So much it revolves around kana ben shoyel that we try to get kadesh yishlot yinakis, because the mitzvah of Sibuk Tzitzitzitzitzitzitzitz has to be derech sheilu tshuva. That it's not enough just for a person to get up and say, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and Shoyim. You have to have a question. You have to have a question and answer. It's got to be a question and answer, a dialogue. Why is that so important? Where did that come from? So Reb Chaim has a famous vort in his Chedushim and Shas where he explains what some of the differences between Yitzias, Zechias Yitzrayim of a regular night and the mitzvah of Sipur and Pesach night. We pass in Halacha, like Ben Zoyma, that there's a mitzvah of Zechias Yitzrayim every night. According to the Pasha Dvarim, that's a mitzvah of Midaraisa. Kim Kane, man is chadish lano on Pesach night. On Pesach night, we have a pasuk. We got the Bincha B'Yom Ulevar. This is a special mitzvah of B'Yom Ulevar on Dafka Bizman Shishmatzim Mar Menachem Fanecha. So, what? How does that differ? How does that express itself differently? Reb Chaim explains that Zechira every night is Laman Tizkor. That's a Zechira B'Yalma. The word Zechira just means a mention. Just the last kira means a very, very quick reference. So, a guy says, I was Yotzei the mitzvah of Zechira Yitzrayim. On Pesach night, that's not enough. On Pesach night, it has to be derech hagodah. Lahagid means a lashon l'saper. I have to speak about it. It's got to be a story. It's got to be a whole elaboration. So Sivut Yisrael requires an elaboration. So what text does this elaboration have to have? This is, again, another example of the Rambam that min haTorah, there is no text. Min haTorah, you can say whatever you want. But mid Rabbanan, so the later generation, so they incorporated all the different Mamari Chazal and put together what we call the Haggadah today. But the Rambam writes, so this is the Haggadah Shenogu Kol Yisrael Bizman Hazeh. So mid Raisa, there is no absolute shape and form what it looks like. But the one thing it does have to be, says Rechav, it's got to be Ma'arech, it has to be a little bit more. It's not just Ashkar B'Alma. So what are some of the halachas that govern making it a little bit more? So Reb Chaim, let's say, highlights what the Mishnah says in the end of Pesachim. It has to be Maschah B'Gnusah B'Sayim B'Shevach. You have to have a beginning, you have to have an end. When it comes to any night, every day and every night, it's Yetziyat Mitzrayim, there's no theme here, there's no grandiose story. It's just a statement. B'Yetziyat Hashem Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim G'alpar Hashem B'Kenar Yitzim Adav B'Yitzon U'N Shoynech B'N Yoytzei. When it comes to Pesach night, that's not good enough. You have to have a story. A story has to have a beginning, has to have an end. So you have a first chapter, the middle chapter, the end chapter, it has to develop, it's got to be a plot development, the whole 9 yards. So it's got to start with a gnus, and it has to be a Messiah and B'Shevach. That's an integral part of a story. It's got to be a little bit more. It's like Lamosha, when we learned the Gittin last year, so there's a question in the Rishonim. When you write a get, so the Mishnah says that you have to write the names of the people, the husband, the wife, the names have to be mentioned to get. So it's funny because the Gemara never says Pemola that that's the case. The Mishnah says that Shidush Bo Shmo is possible. If you write the wrong name, then it's possible. So Rubu the Rishonim say that if you wrote the wrong name, it's possible because the halachas, you have to write the right name. So that's why it's possible. So if you wrote no name, if you just, Reuben gives Sarah a piece of paper that says, Harem Utes Chalodim, doesn't say who he is, doesn't she see is, so that's for sure no good. And there's one opinion in Rishab that says that no, that the Mishnah never says that if you left out the name, it's no good. The Mishnah says that if you made a mistake, it's no good, but if you left it out, that's also good. So we usually don't assume it. We assume that you have to have the Sheamus in the Gittin, the Ikuva. Where did that come from? It doesn't say anything about the name. So where did that come from? So that's a machlekes of Rishonim. Is that a din deraisa, din derabanan? So the Rishonim will claim that's a deraisa. The Ramban writes the second paragraph of Gittin. It's a deraisa because the Torah calls it a sefer, and a sefer, the Torah Shabbat says, means a lashon sipur, a lashon of telling over a story. So if you just write Harei Mutas Chaladam, that's a statement. That's not a story. You can't write a novel and not have any characters in the novel. That's just a sentence. That's not a story. A story has to have a bare-bone minimum of a plot, and it's got to have a characters. So a get has to be two characters, the man and the woman, with the plot. It's a very, very short plot. It's a very, very short story. It's one line. But it has to say, with the rice, it has to say, Reuven ben Yaakov is saying to Rachel Bas Shimon, if not, then you're missing the entire book. You probably should miss the whole story. So that idea that the halacha requires, whenever there's a bit of a sipur, it has to be a little bit more than just a statement. What the Ramban is saying is basically what Reb Chaim said, that it's not enough just to mention, you have to have a derech sipur. So one of the other aspects of derech sipur is it has to be derech shel tshuva. How do you know that? Because the Torah says it. The Torah says, Kishalcha Mincha. Every place that the Torah introduces to us the idea of Sipur Tzitzis Mitzrayim, except for the one, the person sitting at the Elisha, the guy doesn't know how to ask. But all the other places, the Torah says, Kishalcha. Why is the Torah says, Kishalcha? So apparently, this is part of also Sipur, that the Sipur Tzitzis Mitzrayim has to take this tzura of Shaila Tshuva. It doesn't matter what the Shaila is, the Shaila doesn't have to be the exact words of the Chumash Mazois, Ma'edos. It doesn't have to be the Dalet Banim, but it's got to be Derech Shel Tshuva. So therefore, the Chachamim wanted to make sure that Derech Shel Tshuva So they're doing all kinds of different things to encourage the kids. They ask, so karpas is one of those things, kashish latinakis. Then the Gemara says, we do something else, that mesiras ha-shulchan, ikras ha-shulchan, we take away the whole table, where the kids are sitting down, and we're about to, make kiddush, they think we're going to eat, and all of a sudden somebody comes, he picks up the whole table and walks away with the table. So someone around the table is going to ask the kasha, hey, what just happened here? Oh, what a great question. It's great. The Rishonim say that we have a problem with that, is that tables are too big. In the olden days, people ate in these small trays. Everyone had their own private tray. So it was very easy to be Erekes HaShulchan. Today, can you imagine, we get to Avodah Meyinu, right before Manashtana. Wait, everyone, hold on for a second. Three big guys come in and pick up the whole hotel crew comes and picks up the tables and puts it out of the tennis courts. It's not going to work too well. So it doesn't work with Manas. So the Rishonim said, you're right, it doesn't work today. So we do a little bit of a zeicha to that. It's not a halacha mosh sinai to Erekes HaShulchan. It was inside the Chazal to get the kids to ask. So what we do is we remove the Seder plate. So you take the Seder plate off the table. That's like a shtickle, like Erekes HaShulchan. So you take it and you hold on to it. And remember one year, so it couldn't have been too long. But my oldest grandson is only five, not that long ago. So he started asking a question about what I was doing at the beginning of the Seder. So everyone around the table said, no, shh, wait till you ask the Manashtana. I said, wait till that's Manashtana. I said, he just did what he's supposed to do. He just did exactly what Chazal wanted him to do. And now everyone's hushing him up. I said, so I turned to my son and said, this is your mitzvah. Like, this is it. Finally, since the days of Reb Chaim, no one had a chance to have a real shel and tshuva. This is the real Makoy. And they're shutting him up. Then he should wait till Manashtana. No, this is what really matters. Okay, anyway. Saying Manashtana in six languages and in Yiddish standing on your head, that's cute, but this is the real thing. Like, why in the world did you take the Seder plate and throw it onto the floor? Good. So back to that story. So karpas is one of those things that Chazal didn't really institute as a mitzvah, but it's Kadesh Yishlo Tinoikis. So we spoke about this earlier this year. That's the reason why many of us have to practice of not bothering to eat a kezias of karpas. There's no need to eat that. I'm a mitzvah achila. There's a mitzvah achila, either there is a matzah, but there's a banamara, afikom, whatever the mitzvah achilas are, ain't achila al b'kezayis. That karpas is not a mitzvah achila, therefore there's no need to have a shiur b'kezayis. That's what many of us have to practice. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam writes that you have to have a kezayis of karpas. The Rambam seems to understand that it was some kind of a mitzvah also, it's coming incorporated under the mitzvah halayla. Why would we not have a achila? Why would we not have a kezayis? What's the big deal? We yet see the Rambam. So we spoke about this in Uchus Brachas, that it gets into a whole pickle about burning fashas. Because if you eat a kezayis, then you may be mechuyav to make a burning fashas. Maybe yeah, maybe no, depending on what you think about the bracha moral later on in the Seder. So Betty had to practice dafka to refrain from eating kezayis. Some had forget the Rambam's chumra was dafka eating kezayis, and others had the minig dafka not eating kezayis. So many people to say that they get all bent out of shape. They start screaming, "Don't eat a kezayis!" Relax. The guy ate a kezayis. So he's sitting around. The world's not going to come to an end. So we wash without a bracha. We eat less of kezayis, but we don't scream at anybody who's doing anything indifferent in terms of that. Is there anything that we have to use for karpas? Anything specific? It's got to be a bar priyadoma. According to many, we showed the bar priyadoma is going to pot to the moral later. It's got to be yarok. It's got to be something that's a bar priyadoma. What does it have to be? What kind of yarok? What kind of bar priyadoma can it be? So Chazal never really tell us what it is. Does it really matter what it is? So in Europe, kayadua, they use potatoes. Why do they use potatoes? Very simple. So why did that grow? Nothing. Generally in Eastern Europe, nothing grew bichlal. Because it was winter from like October until September, like there were like 3 weeks when it was October until July, but it was like 3 weeks that it got above 40 degrees. So it wasn't so easy to grow things. So the only things that grew were potatoes. So basically, in Eastern Europe, three things grew: potatoes. What else? Carrots. And beets. Yeah, those are three vegetables that grew, which is why Ashkenazi food is all potatoes, carrots. Okay, so that's the borscht with potato kugel and tzimis. That was the standard Ashkenazi food. So that's why in Europe they used to use the potatoes. When I was a little boy, we used potatoes. Mr. Alter, I'm sure you probably used potatoes also. Never? You ate, you know what I'm saying, but at the same, you didn't eat for carpus, you didn't use potatoes? Potatoes, yeah, everyone used them. When I was a kid, everyone ate potatoes for carpus. We also ate potatoes and there were Pesach because there was nothing else to eat. There were only two things you could eat. There were potatoes and eggs. That was it. So you had potatoes and eggs. And more potatoes and eggs and more potatoes. The kids always complain about Gaval, we have nothing in Erev Pesach. I said, that's what we ate. That was the minigan Mitzrayim. We ate potatoes and eggs. And and then if we were really, 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 really lucky, like when we had Shiro, we finally got richer, so somebody came with the idea, you can have tuna fish also on their place. That was like the biggest Kiddush. But in Eastern Europe, they didn't have tuna fish. Eastern Europe was potatoes and eggs, and that I grew up on potatoes. In general, I think we probably have a closer recollection to what Pesach looked like in some of the bathroom here, in terms of the general menu, right? So pretty much the menu was nothing. That was it. Okay, there was matzah and matzah and macaroons. That was pretty much what Pesach existed until well into the 70s. As a little boy, there wasn't too much food out there. Okay, back to our story. So we got karpas. Now we have to move into yachatz. Maybe we'll pick up yachatz tomorrow. So we'll try to continue our trip to the LSA tomorrow.